strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage. Presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert.
Murray's gonna score! Touchdown!
Slammed to the ground by Buda Baker.
Like a torpedo, he came flying into the backfield.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford and Gilbert. Right on the price. Right on the corner of the Santan 202 Freeway in Val Vista. SeatGeek, your ticket to great seats. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcast.
The Red Sea is rising up!
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
I'm ready. I'm 100% ready. I'm telling you I'm ready.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Unleash the fury!
You know what? Start the clock, because it's T-minus 24 hours and counting. Until maybe the key to your season, the key to your organization, the most important day that's not a game day. And we are so loaded with information around here. Honestly, if we're in the trust tree, I'm not sure we even need our two esteemed co-hosts here tonight, because I am armed with more than enough reports and rumors and speculation and education and innocuous and innuendo. I mean, we don't need any of that, but it is tradition, right? We have the voice of the Cardinals joining us here. 'Twas the night before the NFL draft here on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi, joined by Ron Wolfley and Dave Pasch.
Well, there's definitely one of the two that you don't need here. Wolf, go ahead, take that headset off.
Wait a minute now. What are you talking about, David?
You're over there texting. You're over there having these conversations on these text chains with your buddies.
You know what?
While Paul and I are over here preparing for the show.
You know what? Right now, though, honestly, there's so much information that is out there, right? All of this information right now, Paulie. I know how you get, right? This really bounds you up, Paul. It tightens you up right now. And you just want to mentally flush. I understand, Paul, that is what is going on right now. But this is it. Here we are. Guys, we are on the eve of the NFL draft, man. What an awesome, awesome situation that is.
I think it was the old Mad Max movies. They used to say, welcome to Thunderdome. Welcome to the pivot point of the NFL draft. Pick number 4, the Arizona Cardinals. And if we refer to State Farm Stadium as the nest, you can refer to the Cardinals war room as the catbird seat. Can you not? Nobody really knows what the Cardinals are going to do. Will they stick and pick? Or will they, as I like to call it, trade and cavalcade? I mean, the possibilities are endless out there. And you know what's silly season? When 2 months ago we had a CBS mock draft, they had the Cardinals at number 27 taking Bo Nix. And just to make sure it's come full circle, there was a Sports Illustrated mock draft out today that has the Cardinals trading out of 27 down to 32 and taking Michael Penix Jr. So, I mean, we've seen and heard anything and everything. But Dave, listen to Daniel Jeremiah. Okay, here he is, just about the magnitude of the moment when you have 11 picks through 7 rounds.
This is a set your franchise up situation here for the Arizona Cardinals. The Houston Texans did it last year. If you go back and look at a lot of the Super Bowl teams, you can identify the 1 or 2 year period where their draft set that run up. Seattle's one that comes right to mind, you know, what they did over a couple years. So this is their moment here. So they need to, they need to get some guys who really make a difference for them.
That's Daniel Jeremiah. That was a conference call with the media that lasted more than 2 hours. So it just goes and proves the sort of insatiable appetite for all this.
You know, first of all, let me just say this. What is it, Paulie? It's 6 picks in the top 90, correct?
Yep. Or 7 in 104.
In the top 104, yep. Paul. And we all know the top 104 matters, do we not? We all know 104 matters.
Oh, boy. Okay, let's see. Does that correlate to a former fourth rounder, 1985?
You've got to throw in 1985. Pick number 104, Paulie. So yeah. I think, forget about the 6 and 90. You've got to go with 7 in 104 because that's where you get a difference maker, Paul.
First of all, 95% of our listeners weren't born in 1985. But I agree with Daniel, and I think it's very fair to compare it to what Houston did. And look, the difference is Houston needed a quarterback. The Cardinals don't. The Cardinals have their quarterback. So the blessing is you don't have to take a quarterback at four. You can use that pick to either get somebody to help Kyler Murray as a receiver or an offensive lineman, or help your defense, or trade it.
What do you think, Wolf? You got a gut feel? You got a gut feel,
man,
for this one,
Paulie,
right now?
Or
the Cardinals?
I really do. You know, this is just my feeling on this one, Paulie, again. And we've been back and forth on this as well. You know, you know how much I early on loved Marvin Harrison Jr. Oh, my goodness. I was in the danger zone on Marvin Harrison Jr. And I think I'm still there. If we get anybody but Marvin Harrison Jr. at number four, I'm going to be in the danger zone. And yet I'm going to trust Monty Ossenfort, because he knows what he's doing and he loves football players, okay? He's going to draft a football player at number four, okay? Not a guy that is going to check every box at the combine, but a guy that is going to check every box in between the white lines. I have full confidence in that, but I'd love to see Marvin Harrison Jr. get it.
I think it comes down to this, doesn't it? If you think there's one guy who is better than the old, if you're looking at receiver and you think, okay, that the three receivers are the next best players after the three quarterbacks, and you feel like one of those guys, let's say Marvin Harrison, is significantly better than those two, it's somebody you can't pass up, like a Ja'Marr Chase who could change your team, then you got to make that pick. And I imagine that Monty will look at it that way. But if on their board, and we don't know this, on their board, it's close. Or maybe they have somebody ahead of Marvin Harrison. Then
yeah,
it's easier to be able to say, okay, well, let's move out of there. And then it comes down to, well, how far do we want to move out? Because you don't want to just move out just to draft, you know, get capital and then miss out on a great player. That's the thing. I don't think Monty is going to trade just to get another pick. Because I have to imagine when they moved last year out of three, the players that were there at three, they thought were on par with Paris Johnson. That's why they did what they did. So if they think Marvin Harrison is that much better than everybody else over the next 4 to 6 picks, I think they'll take Marvin Harrison. If they don't, if it's close, or if they have somebody graded ahead of Marvin Harrison, then I think they trade out.
What if I told you that Marvin Harrison Jr. met with two teams and only two teams on his 30 visits leading up to the draft Thursday night, that he met with the Bears and the Arizona Cardinals? That's according to Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft scout. Wolf, the two of us have interviewed Matt Miller. You've talked to him multiple times. He adds in today's report that sources around the NFL also say that Marvin Harrison Jr. has an assurance from the Cardinals that he will be the pick, if available, at number four.
Wow, okay.
Let that hang in the air for a minute as we go back to the combine. And here's what Matt Miller had to say just about the Cardinals and the impact they could have up and down this draft.
When I look at how many selections you have in the top 100, that's how you can control the draft. What if there's a trade-out scenario like last year? You know, what if there's a situation where you're willing to, you know, fall in love with a Malik Nabers or a Roma Dunze, or maybe someone who's not in the, even in that conversation, and slide back a couple of picks? So I think Arizona's in a, you know, really fascinating spot, much like last year, where you can make a decision that really changes the outcome of the first round.
I had Ohio State's bowl game, and now Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't play, but in talking with all the coaches, people close to the program, other players, to a man, they raved about Marvin Harrison's character, the type of person he is, the type of worker he is, and then you add the elite talent. So you've got a total package there with Marvin Harrison. If what Matt Miller's saying is true, the chances of a hit are great. Because a lot of times when you miss on guys in the first round, it's not because of talent. There's something there. There's a red flag. I think about when the Cardinals drafted Robert Kimdichie at the end of the first round. There's a reason he dropped that far. There were red flags with Robert Kimdichie. It wasn't about his ability. It was the other stuff. You don't have to worry about that with Marvin Harrison. And I think there's a lot of guys in the top 10. You don't have to worry about that, which, again, goes back to how do you have these guys situated on your board? Do you feel like, whether it's Marvin Harrison Jr. or somebody else, that this is the best player, and if we don't take this player, we are passing up on a game changer just for the sake of getting an additional pick. I don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of with you on that one, David. Right now, listen, what's the old saying? Nature abhors a vacuum, right? That's the old saying right there. Nature abhors a vacuum. And guess what? Scouts abhor ties. They can't stand it. They can't tolerate it. You have to be convicted. Scouting is about being convicted. No, this guy is better than this guy. So once again, I hear this theory that is out there that maybe they've got these three wide receivers and they're all on the same tier. And maybe that is true. But I'll guarantee you, Monty Ossenfort, he's got it lined up. One, two, and three. Who does he like the best? And because of that, I think they're going to be definitive as well. I don't think it's just going to be a, well, you know what, if one of these three guys are there, we'll go ahead and we'll trade down and we'll trade back up and try to get them. I think the scouting is much more about conviction, especially at this point. So I think we'll see them target a guy. If in fact they don't trade out of there, I think they're going to do it.
It's not like last year, though. I mean, this year you have a quarterback ostensibly who's going to be there. We started this whole process with our hashtag, let there be a fourth QB. Right now it looks like there are four. So what are teams willing to pay for that franchise quarterback? How much more, perhaps, than they were willing to pay a year ago? If I told you the Cardinals could go down to number six and get a pair of second-round picks out of the New York Giants, how enticing might that be? What if I told you you could trade with Minnesota, go down to 11, get two first-round picks, 11 and 23, and Justin Jefferson, which has been reported? Or Denver's so desperate for a quarterback, they have Jared Stidham and Zach Wilson right now, they're going to give you 12, a future first, and Patrick Surtain. My gut feeling is Monty Ossenfort doesn't want to trade out of number four, but some team will make him trade out of number four with an offer that is just, it blows him away.
Yeah.
Well, I think we need to see what Washington does first. Assuming Washington takes Jaden Daniels, does New England like Drake May enough, or do they trade out? Do they like J.J. McCarthy better? I doubt it. So if Drake May is gone at three, is there a team that thinks, well, if we don't get to four to take J.J. McCarthy, he's going to go, somebody's going to trade to five? Or somebody's going to trade to six? Or the Giants will just take him at six? And then it comes down to, again, you weigh, well, if I get all these picks, but I got to give up a player that I am convicted, as you use that word, Wolf, I'm convicted, I'm targeting, that I think is the best player for our team at four, I still feel like you take the player rather than the deal in that situation.
Peyton Manning said the other day on Denver Sports Radio, the Broncos are, quote, very interested in J.J. McCarthy. The Giants are said to like Drake May because it reminds head coach Brian Daboll of his former quarterback in Buffalo when he was the OC, Josh Allen. So there's stuff flying everywhere. And you got to be at the Cardinals draft party tomorrow night, presented by Arizona Ford Dealers, azcardinals.com/draft party.
With the sixth pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Paris Johnson Jr., Ohio State.
The Cardinals were brilliant last year in the way they manipulated the draft. Monty Ossenfort, their general manager, went from 3 to 12 to 6, got everything he wanted, more picks. It was brilliant. It was great. And they're going to be open to doing the same thing.
That is Adam Schefter on the Pat McAfee Show. Three draft day trades a year ago involving top 10 picks, with Monty Ossenfort making two of them. As the Cardinals traded from 3 to 12, then back up to 6. If you look at the past five drafts, there have been 28 trades total during day one, round one of the draft, that included first round picks. So we'll see exactly what happens. We'll see what sort of calls come Monty Ossenfort's way. It's a Big Red Rage. 'Twas the night before the NFL draft, our annual edition. Ron Wolfley, Dave Pash, yours truly, Paul Calvisi. And by the way, two of the three of us will be out at the NFL draft party on the Great Lawn tomorrow night. Good time will be had by all. You got the Jumbotrons, you got players, you got coaches up on stage, live coverage, you got food and beverage you can buy. It's all free to attend. Parking is free. Just got to go to azcardinals.com/draft party and go ahead and sign up for your digital tickets. And then boom, come on out. Who knows? Right now there's two first round picks for the Cardinals. Who knows if there might be more? Wolf, I mean, you take a look and you put your finger to the wind on this one.
Mm.
Do you think, I mean, look, there's the known and the unknown. We don't know who.
Yeah.
We don't know how much.
Right.
The only thing we really know is the when, as in, Monty has said repeatedly, there will not be a trade until we're on the clock.
See, now, once again, Paul, do you buy that right there?
Yes.
Because you do.
Yeah.
You don't think New England is going to trade out of number three, even though they're waving that sign.
That's why you wait, because you don't know if New England's going to trade. So why would you make a deal before you know what New England's going to do?
Yeah, no, I know that. But so do you think the Patriots are alive in this? I think they're just making a lot of noise.
I don't know, but I just going back to Paul's point about Monty saying that he's not going to do anything until they're on the clock. Why would you do something until you're on the clock?
But see, I have to say this quickly. There are people out there that would do something off the clock if they got offered what they wanted before. If they got a truckload and they got it offered to them before, they might make a move.
Well,
we've seen general managers do that.
The Trey Lance Niners-Miami deal for 3 first-round picks was done a month before the draft.
Guess what? They should have waited till they were on the clock, or not at all.
No, but once again, if you're considering trading out of there, why wouldn't you wait until you're on the clock?
But he obviously has scenarios in his mind. He's obviously had conversations, so he has an idea what's coming. I'm sure there will be a surprise or two, right? There's going to be a call that you didn't think was coming that you have to weigh against the player you want.
Speaking of Jim Irsay, who can be a loose cannon a bit as the Colts owner, came out and said this week that the Colts have, quote, great interest in Marvin Harrison Jr., the son of their former Hall of Fame receiver, Marvin Harrison. Could the Colts somehow make a play to come from 15-4? I mean, there's stuff flying around everywhere. Multiple reports that says Monty, he's at least fielded 4 inquiries, 4 solid inquiries about, okay, we're going to be interested on draft day.
I'm glad you brought that up, Paul, because I think there are teams that are going to call not just about a quarterback. And maybe not just about Marvin Harrison. It may be for Joe Alt. If you think Joe Alt is a franchise left tackle, and you think, man, if the Cardinals take a receiver, the Chargers are going to take Joe Alt. We need to jump the Chargers. Again, I think he's going to get calls that they may not say, hey, this is what we're doing, but it may not be for a quarterback. We're acting like that's all that's out there.
Like Tennessee at number 7. They're in dire need of offensive linemen. Maybe they want Joe Alt. They come up ahead of the Chargers. They get their guy. You go back to 7. That's something we haven't thrown out there. Look, here's Adam Schefter again on the Pat McAfee Show just talking about, hey, that number 4 pick, there's a for sale sign on it right now.
The Cardinals pick is for sale, but no sales are final until they're on the clock. And even then, I think 4 is going to be a tough spot to get to for some teams. I just don't know in the end that Arizona is going to be willing to give up the chance to get the top wide receiver in this draft to get extra picks.
What if? Here's my ideal scenario. The New York Giants, who have invested a lot of time and resources
at number 6, Paul,
in examining every single quarterback prospect in this draft. Giants come up. They come up to 4. Cardinals go only to 6. They get another second-round pick or 2. And then, all of a sudden, to Dave's point, Jim Harbaugh, what's his style of play? The trenches, bully ball, we're going to be physical. He takes the tackle at 5. Guess what? 4 quarterbacks, 1-4, tackle at 5. Marvin Harrison Jr. is still there at 6. How about that?
Yeah, even if the Chargers went with a wide receiver as well at number 5.
Yes.
Rome Odunze or Malik Neighbors could be there at number 6. I really do enjoy that right now. But let me just say this. What Monty Ossenfort is doing, I think, is brilliant right now. And the reason being is because there is going to be leverage. The Arizona Cardinals, we all think the draft is going to start with a number 4 pick overall. And because of that, why wouldn't you wait until you're actually on the clock to get all these other teams' best offers? Because I guarantee you, he's plowed the road, to your point, David, probably 4 or 5 teams that are out there. He's already plowed the road and let them know, listen, we're not going to take any offers until we're on the clock. But make sure you come with your best early on. Because you've got 20 seconds, go. Because I got 4 other guys on hold. I mean, honestly, he's going to have to get these offers, and it's going to have to be a final offer.
And I asked him last month about how much background is done leading up to when you're on the clock in those weeks and months. And he said, yes, quite a bit. You know who's a player, who's serious. And then to your point, Wolf, in fact, he used those words in the Cardinals flight plan, all access video from the war room last year. Is that your best offer? because once you're on the clock, you're going to get a team's
There's
best offer.
There's no negotiation offer. There. Yeah. It's just give me your offer or go.
And here's Monty Ossenfort's philosophy on that.
We've had talks with multiple teams, and multiple teams have checked in with us. And I think the way I look at it is like, guys, I love my house. I love where I live, okay? My wife loves where we live. If all of a sudden there's a knock on my door and someone's going to offer me something, and I'm going to look and see what they're offering me. And if I open that up and it's something I'm not expecting, hey, Shannon, let's go pack up. It's time to roll.
So there you go. Once again, I just wonder, and I've said this a couple of times, let me get your impressions on this, Dave. Do you think this GM and this head coach value receiver as high as number four? Considering the fourth-ranked rushing team last year, it's really, really deep in terms of receivers. Do you think that, okay, you know what, supply and demand, there aren't as many corners, aren't as many edge rushers, we trade down, you go defense, and then at 27 or 35, we can still get a really good wide receiver. Once upon a time, Justin Jefferson, the best in the game, was selected number 22 overall.
Not to sound redundant, Paul, but it goes back to what I said earlier, where if you feel there is a receiver that you cannot live without, that you think is a game changer, that changes your team, that changes your franchise, you make the pick. We don't know if they have that person in mind. And in the past, the Cardinals, you know, the scouting system and the grading system was much different than it is with the new regime. And, you know, I think with the old system, a lot of times it was based on a grade. And sometimes the grade, you know, may or may not have made sense. Where I think now there's a lot more discussion about, well, how does he fit our team? How does he fit our culture? And so if there's more than just, oh, wow, this guy's a great talent. He runs a great – I'm not saying this is what Steve did. Obviously, Steve had a great run as GM here for a long time and made a lot of good picks. So I don't want to sit here and bash the old system, but it's just different. The way they're looking at players are different, and I think how it fits the team and the culture and the staff and the scheme and all that stuff plays a big role. And – there, if there's Mike, you think about Mike Evans, Jamar Chase, guys that were drafted in the top 10 at receiver, you have a chance to get a home run. Unless you think the three guys are pretty similar. Or you think, you know what, there's a guy, Brian Thomas, Keon Coleman, the kid at South Carolina, that, you know what, we could get that guy late first round who's just as good. We just don't know where Monty's thinking is right now.
You know, the great part about this, if you are Monty Ossenfort in the Arizona Cardinals, though, you're sitting in, Paul, you said it, the catbird seat. Listen, is your consolation prize Marvin Harrison Jr.? That's your consolation prize? Or, you know, are you going to get a truckload, a boatload of draft picks? You know, we're talking about six in the top 90. You know, seven in the top 104, because we all know 104 is important. Anyway, so once again, we're talking about that. What if you added more picks as well? Is that a possibility? Yes, it is. And they could be not only quantity of pick, which is something Monty loves. He loves quantity, just like the Baltimore Ravens. They love quantity because it allows you to get a better percentage of a hit rate to hit on some of these players. Because of that.
Remember when the Jets took Sauce Gardner a couple years ago, and everybody was going to the draft saying, you know what, the Jets should trade down because people are going to want to go up and get a quarterback. They didn't. They took Sauce Gardner, and he totally changed their team. Now, they had other good players on their defense, but like that changed it. That put them over the top. So, again, if you think Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers or Joe Alt or Romo Dunze, whoever it is at four, you think this person changes us.
Yes.
You make that pick.
Yes. I would agree with that, unless you get offered something you can't say no to, David. That's, once again, I think Monty is sitting in the catbird seat, as Paul is talking about, because I don't see a downside.
Do you see the info that ESPN threw out there that was from 2000 to 2019, they evaluated the hit rates of all the position groups in the NFL draft?
Yeah.
You know what had the worst
hit rate?
Wide receiver.
Yeah.
By far.
I believe that.
I don't know if that gives anyone pause, but once again, I go back to that question. How does this regime value the wide receiver position? Do they go as far as four overall?
And what I love about it is, how do they value a football player, and how do they identify a football player? I think they know what a football player looks like, even at wide receiver. And that's why I'm confident if they pick it, he's a football player.
Because let's say you trade with the Giants and you get that extra second-round pick. There are a lot of mock drafts. You know who's available in that number 47 slot? Braden Fisk, standout D lineman. Jackson Powers Johnson, a franchise center.
Hey, there's been a lot of buffs overall in the first round as well, Paulie.
Hey, Cardinals season tickets, premium seating, luxury seating. Go to azcardinals.com/tickets. We continue with a Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert.
How you doing, man?
Doing good.
Congratulations.
Appreciate you.
You gonna come in here and deny the ball or what?
Hell yeah, I'm gonna do that.
I know it.
How you doing? This is Monty Osinport from the Cardinals.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing? Where are you at?
I'm in Charlotte, man. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah, you got some people around you? Who are you hanging out with?
I hear my family, my friends, all that, man.
Yeah, you got your family and your friends? Well, guess what?
Yes, sir.
You're about to tell them you're going to be an Arizona Cardinal, buddy.
Yes, sir. Let's do it, man. Let's go to work.
We are excited that we're going to get you in here. You remember that meeting we had with you at the Combine?
Yes, sir.
Man, you're made of the stuff we're looking for, bud.
With the 72nd pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Garrett Williams, defensive back, Syracuse.
Great stuff. And we had Garrett Williams, the pleasure of having Garrett Williams on this show, The Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, special guest Dave Pasch, more than two decades as the voice of the Arizona Cardinals. And Garrett Williams remembered that meeting at the Combine vividly. And then to hear Jonathan Gannon talk about it later during his TV show, Wolf, he told the story, it was the very last interview of that day. They'd gone through like three or four dozen player interviews, 15 minutes at a time. They were beyond exhausted. And Garrett Williams walked into the room, and within a couple of minutes, they were on the edge of their seat. They were perked up. They realized, you know what? This kid's highly intelligent, highly skilled, has a real passion for the game. You heard JG interact with him talking about playing cornerback. That's his position of expertise in particular. And so, boom, there you go. You got a guy who's your starting nickel corner in round three a year ago, just like you found a starting receiver in Michael Wilson in round three. So, I mean, Dave, you've seen it for a long time now. You got all the pomp and circumstance goes to round one. But then you really start to build the foundation of your team beyond round one.
100%. I mean, think how many Hall of Famers have been drafted outside the first round that were throwaways in the eyes of, you know, the draft builders and the media folks. And I think it was interesting what Monty said when he made the comment to Garrett about you're made of the stuff we're looking for. There's a type of person, I know you've said this, Wolf,
yeah,
type of person as well as a type of player that they are looking for, whether it's first round, fourth round, seventh round, college free agents. There's a culture that they're building, and so you weigh all the numbers and the stats and the 40 times. You know, the reason J.J. McCarthy has skyrocketed is because of the meetings at the Combine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not just the performance stuff, but the meetings. And you get with somebody and, you know, does this guy make us better? Does he make people around him better? Is he a leader? And Garrett Williams had that. And that's what everybody said about him at Syracuse, the Alabama of Central New York. So, you know, it's what?
Yeah.
you doubt that? Well,
not
Syracuse, not the Alabama.
Okay. I mean, my older brother Craig went to Syracuse. I'm not going to rip Syracuse.
I think... There's always really good players. They get undervalued for whatever reason. Maybe it's there was an injury, and that's why they dropped, or there was a character question or a motor. Remember Calais Campbell? People thought,
right.
He didn't have a good motor.
Yeah.
The guy's still around. Like,
he's still playing.
So there's a sometimes you maybe feel differently about a player, and I know it's a dangerous place to be sometimes as a scout to get emotional about a player, but sometimes you see something that maybe nobody else sees. And the San Francisco 49ers, I know this because I talked to someone on that coaching staff, that they saw something in Brock Purdy
yes.
that they thought nobody else did. Like, we have to have this guy. This guy, if things don't work out with our other quarterbacks, if we need somebody, this guy can fit right in and lead and win.
Yeah, but they still drafted him in the seventh round.
I'm just saying,
Mr. Irrelevant.
There's still other – you could have taken 100 other guys.
I understand that.
I'm just saying, whether it's the first round or later, the point, Wolf, is a lot of times you pick a guy because you feel a certain way about him. And it may not be because of his skill set. It may be because of his brain or the way he carries himself or leadership.
Yes, and this is one of the reasons why I'm so bullish on Monty Austinfort and JG. Because, guys, somebody in that room, whether it's Monty himself, whether it's JG, or somebody very close by, somebody in that room has a clear-cut idea of what he wants in a player, right? The person of that player right there. And somebody can read people as well. Paul, I've talked about this many times with you in the past. David, I haven't really had a chance to talk to you maybe as much about this. But my dad was really, really good at reading people. Like, he's a truck driver. That's all he was. Drank a lot of coffee. Drove a truck, right? But he was really good. He had one skill. He could read people and figure out. Have you ever been around people that had this innate ability to read whether a guy was giving you a bunch of garbage or whether he was on the up and up, right? I think Monty Austinfort and JG, I think one of those guys, or maybe even both of them, have a good read on people and on players. And that's the thing. They know what kind of player they want in their head, and they know it when they sit in front of them and see it.
There's a winning intangible that these guys are looking for. I think Monty and JG in their mind, they think, what makes this guy a winner? Meaning, how does he help us win? And I'm not saying other GMs and personnel and coaches don't do that, but they might do it differently.
Over the course of last season, I came to define it. This is just my own opinion from absorbing everything. Like, what are they looking for? I believe they're looking for a player who's 100% serious about football.
Serious.
No nonsense football player when it comes to the game and their love of the game.
And will you play through injury?
Well,
will you play through being banged up as opposed to a real injury? Because look at free agency. A lot of guys that have played in a lot of games that haven't been in the league that long because they're available. Yep. And that goes to your point about you're searching for guys that help you win that are all about ball.
Ball. They love the game. And they've got a great way of vetting that and finding out if you do.
Guess what? Last year you had 2 third-round picks. This year you have 3 third-round picks. Here's Lance Zierlein, NFL.com draft analyst, right? He was at the Combine and recently on Cardinals Cover 2, talking about the Cardinals' potential moves outside the first round.
You can play it both ways. When you're able to trade back and be smart about it and add draft capital, you can really maneuver the draft and play the draft game on draft day intelligently. And it doesn't just end on the first round. I mean, second, third rounds are – this is where teams are built on day two as well.
I mean, you're hoping B.J. Ojulari, for example, really takes that next step. He had an injury plague beginning to his NFL career. You saw how Garrett Williams came back from injury. Michael Wilson rebounded at the very end from some injuries. So, boom, you're trying to count on all those guys.
Dante Stills.
Yes, a sixth-rounder. Here's the thing. You know, every single team has needs. Even the Kansas City Chiefs, 2-time Super Bowl champs, they need receivers, they need corners. NFL.com lists the Cardinals' needs as receiver, corner, edge, running back, interior offensive line.
Isn't that everything? They just listed all the positions except quarterback.
But you have 11 picks. Yeah. I mean, you gotta figure that Monty Austinfort has a shopping list, right? He's gonna be checking a few boxes at those positions in particular.
Yeah, can I throw one in there as well, Paul? Did you say tight end, blocking tight end? Did you say
Did
blocking
not.
Tight end
Did
right
not.
Now? Honestly.
I'd agree with that.
Really, Paulie? Okay. Be aware of that right there. A true blocking tight end. Where do you think you could get maybe the best blocking tight end in the draft? Maybe you could go ahead and get that guy in the fourth round. Maybe you could. I mean, that's a situation if you were just looking for that. And why would you want that, David? Because you have Trey McBride as well. You can go 11 personnel with Trey McBride, 3 wide receivers. Trey McBride is your tight end. James Conner is your running back in rundown situation. And you can run your offense. You can either run it or throw it. You can do either of that. Use play action as well. Or you can go 12 personnel. You can get a true stud tight end You can line him up on the tackle's hip, and then you can have the H, the move tight end, that being Trey McBride. Now all of a sudden you've got a very good blocker in Trey McBride and the best blocking tight end in the draft. Now all of a sudden you want to improve your running game, Paulie? There you go, right there.
Here's another question, and this I think can it doesn't necessarily have to be about rounds 2 through 7. Maybe it's at the end of the first round. How do you view your offensive line? Meaning, are you all about, I want the best five guys on the field. So if he played tackle, but we think he can be a guard, we're going to look at that.
Graham Barden.
There's a guy. And then also, you know, what do you think of John Gaines? We didn't get to see John Gaines last
year.
That's a
great point. Yep.
How does he fit in?
Seriously.
If you're really high on him, how does that impact what you might do later in the draft?
Remember, the four draft classes before Monty Asafor, there are six players left. And only six out of 32 picks. They have hit the big red reset button in a big way. The Packers, for example, last year became the fourth youngest team to reach the playoffs and the youngest to win a playoff game since the merger.
Whoa.
A year ago, they had 13 picks. This year, the Packers have 11 picks. I think there's a method here, and there's a philosophy of what they're doing. Monty Asafor, Jonathan Gannon. Cardinals draft party. Man, we're going to be busy. There's going to be a lot to see and hear, a lot to eat and drink. Come on out. Join us. All presented by the Arizona Ford dealers out on the Great Lawn. Just go to azcardinals.com/draft party. Get your free tickets and free parking pass. azcardinals.com/draft party.
I think Pat probably deserved flip-flops and a surfboard somewhere in some Oakley shorts and a real nice golden hair, and that's it. Like, playing football never seemed like he should be there until he put on his pads. When he put on his pads, a different person showed up.
I understand you hit pretty hard.
No, not me, different guy.
In the middle of the field, that ball's incomplete. Wow! Off comes the helmet of the intended receiver as he gets crushed back there by Pat Tillman.
Pat Tillman, the blade. He knocked him right in the helmet with a forearm and just slapped that helmet off.
Even as a rookie, we used to have to call him off. You know, some practices we were, you know, just fed up on the guy with the ball. But he would come in and demolish the guys, which was a really good tactic, and it worked out great for him because it got the coach's attention.
He brought that same kind of FU mentality to the Cardinals. I mean, rookies don't hit receivers in OTA days, but he would lay some wood on a guy or like put an elbow in him and get in fights, and he really upped the competitiveness during practice. You know, guys didn't like him because he would hit you or rough you up or do whatever he felt he needed to work on, and they ended up respecting him because it made everybody's level come up. He was a tone setter.
And later, Pat Tillman would admit to as much. It was by design. He was a 7th-round pick. He was picked number 226 overall. Guess what? The Arizona Cardinals own the 226 overall pick this year in the 7th round. This week also marks the 20th anniversary of the passing of Pat Tillman, who was killed in combat. If you go and search Cardinals Folktales Legendary Locker, you can hear much more where that came from. Just a little clip about Pat Tillman and Ron Wolfley. The two of us are old enough to remember when he showed up on the scene as a rookie in 98 and how he started multiple fights because there were half thud drills that he would go all out. Because he knew, once again, he had to set a tone, he had to catch the attention of the coaches.
And it wasn't only that, Paulie. It was just Pat himself, right? We all know he had one speed.
Yep.
He was going to put that mouth guard on. He was going to button that bonnet up. And he was going to go out on that field. And if he was in between those white lines, you are going to get everything you deserved on the football field. He knew one speed. And it's one of the reasons why we love them all so much.
And our special guest tonight here in studio for this Big Red Rage, 'twas the night before the NFL Draft Edition, brought to you by Santan Ford and Gilbert, is Dave Pasch, who was there when the Cardinals made Larry Fitzgerald the number 3 pick overall 20 years ago. Think about
Thanks
that.
Thanks for making me feel old. Oh, my goodness. Wow. You guys are talking about 98. Yeah. Like, oh, man. 98 to 2002 or 2004 when Fitz was picked. Feels like a 100-year difference. And you think about it, it's really only a 6-year difference.
Especially,
like,
though, when you start with the 19.
Yeah,
19,
right, exactly.
98, what?
Yeah.
Dave, do you think the fact the Red Sea is so in favor of Marvin Harrison Jr. My theory is because it reminds them of Larry Fitzgerald. As someone who called a lot of his games at Ohio State and pretty familiar, much more than we are, with Marvin Harrison Jr., do you think he's just a reminder of the Red Sea, and that's why they seem to be so all in on Marvin Harrison Jr. before the draft has even started?
It's hard not to look at Marvin Harrison Jr. and see some similarities. The contested catches is the biggest thing that comes to mind, because Fitz, we all know, sorry, Larry, but you weren't a burner. You didn't run by everybody in college, but you caught everything. And you caught everything in traffic. Every contested 50-50 ball you won. That's the same thing with Marvin Harrison. Now, you do see Marvin get by people, but I wouldn't put him in the category of a burner. He's just a great player. He's a great all-around football player. And he makes the contested catches look easy, a lot like Larry did.
Yeah, for me, Paulie, I think Rome Odunze is a better fit, a better comp to Larry Fitzgerald than Marvin Harrison Jr.
Interesting.
I think Rome Odunze, as a matter of fact. Rome Odunze, a football player through and through. I'll never forget Larry Fitzgerald getting jumped by Bruce Arians in that first week. Remember that first week in training camp? And Bruce Arians took the opportunity to jump Larry Fitzgerald, and Larry was not blocking as well as B.A. wanted to see him block. Larry was a football player through and through. He truly was. He could get it done. He was much better as a blocker from that point forward than we've ever seen him. And he doesn't want to admit that, but it's true. Larry was a football player, and Rome Odunze is a football player as well. And you know what? When you look at them, both these guys, their frames are very similar. Larry's got a lot of butt, and so does Rome.
And we found out later Bruce Arians was holding Larry accountable, because if he could hold the legend accountable as the new head coach in town, then guess what?
Bingo.
Everyone can be held accountable. That's a word we've heard
called coaching
from Jonathan Gannon and Monty Ossenfort time and time again. In fact, on the Dave Pasch podcast, Monty Ossenfort reflected on what it was like to sit in that GM chair during a draft for the first time.
In the past, you prepare for a draft, and you're like, man, I hope this happens. I think we should do this. But now there's no more, I think we should do this. It's, we're going to do this. And that's a big mantle to take on, you know. And so, you know, I think for me personally, like the thing that really helped me over that first hour of the draft, where there was so much action, is we were prepared. And our group of individuals upstairs, we were ready. And, you know, things didn't happen exactly the way we thought they would. But we had also talked ad nauseum about different ways that things could happen, and we were ready, we reacted, and you know, ultimately, I think we made decisions that were good for the team.
And I don't think there's any question, Paulie, that Monty Ossenfort, Dave Sears, the staff, Jonathan Gannon, they have gone through every possible scenario, knowing that there will be a surprise or two, but I guarantee you they have spent hours upon hours of mock drafts and mock trade scenarios to make sure that they are fully prepared for what could happen.
And to come full circle, it was hard not to notice the Chargers GM this week saying, quote, "We believe we have the first pick in the draft." Meaning he thinks quarterbacks are going 1-4.
That's right.
Which means, let's translate that, the Cardinals are trading out. But then you saw a report in the Boston Herald that the Patriots have said, no, all the offers we've received are laughable. Translation, up your offers if you want number 3.
Yep.
So to Dave's point, maybe it's the Patriots who trade out and try and cash it in before the Cardinals even have that opportunity.
Yeah, there's one problem with that. The Patriots are in desperate need of a quarterback.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
And the odds makers are, it's so hard to know, because unless you're in the room, you're not getting correct information. So is Jaden Daniels really going to? It seems that way. Everybody seems to think it's happening, but we don't know.
Yes.
What if it's Drake May? And now that maybe changes what happens at 3.
At the league meetings, Tom Pelissero reported ad nauseum that it's J.J. McCarthy who's the favored quarterback in Washington. So who knows what to think? And it's why the TV ratings are through the roof. It's why it's being carried on 4 different networks. It's the original reality TV.
And once again, though, all of these stories, you have to decipher. Who benefits from this leaked story? Who's the guy that is the beneficiary, and who's the guy that suffers from this? You have to figure it out, because, you know, then you can determine where the source is coming from, because what a mess. Draft subterfuge is real. You say things to try to mislead people. You do anything you can to actually keep people guessing as to what it is you're going to do. I mean, the agents are involved in it. It's just a mess this time of year.
All you have to do is remember what happened last year. Everybody said, oh, C.J. Stroud, red flags, question marks. I think they're trying to trade out from two. They're not going to take Stroud. Guess what happened? C.J. Stroud not only had the best rookie season,
yes,
but he also great leader, terrific person. All the things that people said he wasn't, he is. So who started all that stuff? How did it steamroll to the point where people were thinking this isn't going to happen for him?
Exactly.
And keep your eye within the division because Geno Smith is on a glorified one-year deal. Matthew Stafford has no guaranteed money after this coming season. A lot of people think that the Rams and Seahawks might make a play for a quarterback. We'll see. It all goes down tomorrow night. Please join us out at the draft party on the Great Lawn, azcardinals.com/draft party for all the info. Jim Almahundred, thank you. Cody Fincher, Matt Lazarus, Dave Pasch, thanks for coming down. This has been the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Right on the price, right on the corner of the Santan 202 freeway in Val Vista. The Rage is brought to you by SeatGeek, your ticket to great seats, and by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcast. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.